This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. Now, next Thursday, the 2nd... we have
Hi
a full
everyone,
moon.
I'm here to talk to you about the first half of April and the full moon that we have in Libra on the 2nd, very early in the month. And I think we will really feel the energy of the fire horse in April more than we have already. And we've certainly seen a lot of fiery energy already. But April will be a peak month this year, so will July. And we will feel that fiery firehorse energy more strongly as we go through April. The second half is even more potent, I think, than the first, particularly from that new moon that we have coming up on the 17th in Aries. I have never seen, I don't think, 9 orbiting bodies in Aries ever, partly because we have both Saturn and Neptune there at the moment, and it's very unusual to have them both co-present in that sign. So I'll talk about that obviously in the next video for that new moon and for the second half of the month. But even now, this is the first lunation since the equinox, and I think many of us can really feel that was a new beginning, that was a rebirth, that was an ignition point for humanity. So we're now, you know, we are now beyond that beginning. It is just the beginning. Obviously, this will go on to infinity, but it is a very, very powerful period of rebirth for sure. I keep thinking of the two words, humanity rising. That's what I think of with all this Aries energy. So use it to step into your sovereignty, your courage, doing something new, taking a risk, your inner authority. Be more aware of your inner state than you ever have before, because all of this Aries energy can so often tip out into the external, into some kind of aggression or assertion, which we don't want to see in the world. Use it in everything, ultimately, is an inside job, but use it internally to really have that kind of iron rod of I know who I am, I'm sovereign. You know, I'm protected, I'm anchored to love, I'm aligned with source, that kind of a real clear focus. One of the great things about Aries, there are many great things, but it has great clarity. It has a strong sense of self, keywords are I am, and it has great clarity. People who have strong Aries in their chart, they just know who they are. They're just very, it's a very simple, direct, clear energy. So with all of these planets moving into Aries in April, and we'll look at the chart in a moment, I think we will get clarity from the kind of Piscean fog that we've been in for so long. I just want to remind you, because people have asked me about this, that about the astrology of the bombing of Iran. Very sadly, on the 27th, there was a very explosive combustible square between Uranus and Mars. And then on the 28th, Mars was exactly conjunct the solar eclipse degree of 28 of Aquarius, which had happened on the 17th of February. But it ignited all of that very revolutionary energy, uppity, eruptive energy of that solar eclipse. And it was that day, the 28th, that there was the bombing, the attack on Iran. And we were already within the energy of the total lunar eclipse, on the which happened on the 3rd of March. It happened at 12 of Virgo, and that was very tightly conjunct the midheaven ruler, i.e. the government, the leader, midheaven ruler, in the chart for Iran. I think I mentioned that in a previous video. So certainly one man was taken out. He's been replaced, I believe, by his son. Is that a change in direction? I'm not sure we can say that, but it was a change in the man at the top. And you know, with all of this, I know there is an immense amount of human suffering going on right now. And, you know, we can't ignore it. We have to be aware of it. And these are our brothers and sisters. You know, there by the grace of God, it could be any of us. And so really, really would like to ask you to dedicate even more time where you can to just keep reminding yourself to send peace, send calm, send love to all of those war-torn zones in the Middle East, because it's going to, you know, it's very, very, very tough for the general population there. We don't know what's true, what's not, Saturn, Neptune, but I certainly think there's a lot of human suffering going on. So the more often we can do that, we've got our 7 p.m. UK time meditation every night. Thousands of people join that, and that gives it some real potency. But if you can do it more often, that can only help. Looking back to the Capricorn solstice last year, 21st of December, and remember that was striking a tuning fork as background for the next 3 months, and so often the geographies highlighted then can come into prominence. Well, at that Capricorn solstice, the Saturn-Neptune conjunction fell across the Middle East and across the Straits of Hormuz, literally straight across the Straits of Hormuz. And for this upcoming full moon in Libra that I'm going to be talking about, this full moon is also angular by astrocartography through Russia, Iran, Straits of Hormuz, and again, it's on the midheaven government leadership of Greenland. Greenland keeps popping up. You think it's a, you know, quite remote country. It does keep popping up near the astrocartography. At this full moon, we have Uranus on the IC. That's quite a revolutionary eruptive energy. That's running through Italy and Africa. We've seen a lot of volcanic activity, which is Uranus, through Italy. So, you know, hopefully all of this seismic activity can happen away from populated areas. That's my prayer. And at the full moon, also we have, by astrocartography, Pluto on the IC, the base of the chart, running through Canada, the US and Mexico. It's kind of to the eastern side, you know, it's running down through Ottawa, straight south, close to Washington and into Mexico. Could that suggest a change of leadership in any of those countries? Because it's on the IC, which is, you know, the land, but by definition, it also opposes the MC, which is the government and the leadership. We will see. We will see. But I've mentioned again in previous videos recently that Neptune being in Aries, when it's been in Aries previously in the 1920s and the 1970s, there has been a lot of inflation. I remember in the 1970s, it was running really high, 15% inflation or more. So it's there again. It's there until 2039. And Neptune represents water. So water is, it's on the world axis right now. So issues to do with water are going to be in prominence this year. But also, as I mentioned before, it also represents oil. Saturn, we've still got this Saturn-Neptune conjunction. Saturn is, together with Neptune, that's linked to blockage. So we have blockage to shipping. Neptune is shipping. Blockage to oil. That's the literal translation of Saturn-Neptune. And it was falling of the Straits of Hormuz for the 3 months from the Capricorn solstice last year and also at this full moon. Very, very sadly, I understand, and again, what's true, what's not with Neptune-Saturn, but I understand that the bombing has hit some desalination plants in the Middle Eastern area, and water, Neptune, because they rely very heavily for their water, drinking water, all kinds of water, on the desalination plants, and that would be really disastrous. So again, please send love, prayers, peace. If you can be of any more practical use, sending money that you know is going to get to the people. But there's a big theme in this full moon in Libra, which I'm going to come on to. But certainly the world is very chaotic right now. I think there's no way of avoiding that. On one timeline, that the world is very chaotic. On another timeline, people are living in love and bliss. So please know that there isn't one, there's never just one timeline, but there's a very loud timeline, which is chaotic, and it's breaking down, and it's very stressful to watch. So try not, even though it's our brothers and sisters, try not to get so caught up in it. Be aware, but not so caught up that you lose your center, because then you can't help yourself or help the people on the ground. But the old has to collapse in order for us to build a more loving world that is not on rotten foundations. And we have to see the corruption. We have to see what's gone on. But if you can then observe and think that my greatest use to the collective is staying in peace and calm and bliss, because it is actually, that's one of the greatest manifestations of service you can give right now, because your energy feeds back to the collective. Stay in peace, stay in compassion, stay in calm, stay in gratitude. That feeds back to the collective and calms down all these very loud, noisy energies that we're seeing. Also, I think it's worthy of note to mention that Mars rules Aries, as many of you know. So yes, it can be war, of course, that's a lower manifestation. And Mars has about a 2-year cycle. It's moving back into its own sign of Aries on the 10th of April, and it will be conjunct Neptune at 2 degrees of Aries by then on the 12th of April. So this can manifest, yes, as more assertion, more war, more aggression, but it can also manifest as more you living more divine will, you living more courage, you living more sovereignty, more authenticity. And yes, when Mars comes on to conjunct Neptune, it can be there's more aggression at sea, aggression over oil, aggression over water, misguided Neptune, aggression, misjudged. But it can also have a completely different expression of you dedicate some time to the local soup run or food bank, spiritual action, or you do more yoga, or you do more Tai Chi, or you do more meditation or breath work, spiritual action. These planetary aspects are like multifaceted diamonds. You can hold exactly to the correct symbolism, and yet it can express in very, very different ways, because as I say, there are many people who are living in a state of love and bliss in order to really make that higher timeline even more solid, so we can help to pull our brothers and sisters up from the distressing circumstances that we're in. If that isn't a really firmly established timeline, it's much harder for us to help. We have to be at that, I don't want to say higher, because it isn't a hierarchy, just a timeline vibrating in love and compassion. Because if that's fully established, and I believe it already is, actually, we start to be able to pull up our brothers and sisters to a much better world and a much better reality. I hope this is making sense. It's worthy of note, and I've again mentioned this in recent videos, that for America, the IC of that American chart, 4th of July, 1776, Philadelphia, 10 past 5 in the afternoon, the base of the chart, the IC, is at 1 degree of Aries. That's where Neptune is right now. And it's going to be joined by Mars, 10th, 11th, 12th, a few days afterwards. They're both going to be there together. And so, yes, this could manifest as flooding. This could also manifest as, you know, aggression within the country. I think we're seeing that already. But it can also, the opposite point of the IC is the MC. It can suggest, you know, some confusion in the government or more deception coming out from the government or by the government, or even a dissolution, an undermining, an erosion of the current government. So just know that all of these applications are symbolically correct, but they can manifest in different ways. And the way in which they manifest is determined by the collective consciousness, by us. We are half of the picture. We, as humanity, astrology is half the picture, roughly. We, as humanity, in our consciousness, weave the manifestation. And again, that's something I've talked about a lot. So also we have from the 6th to the 26th of April, Uranus is at the anoretic degree, the very final degree of Taurus. And so when a planet is at the very final degree, and remember, Uranus has an 84-year cycle, once it moves off that point into Gemini on the 26th of April, very different energy. It won't return there until the end of its next cycle, you know, just 76 years' time, something like that. So when it's at the anoretic degree, it can express in a more extreme way. So we may see, again, more seismic activity. Let us hope that that happens away from populated areas. A lot of the recent big volcanoes, 6+, have happened well away from populated areas because the Earth has to go through her own metamorphosis. But so far, it hasn't been hitting densely populated areas to such a degree. So it can be more seismic activity, more financial volatility. We're seeing a lot of that. More volatility in the crypto markets, digital Uranus, banking is linked to Taurus, currencies linked to Taurus. So we could be seeing a lot of that as well. I think banking is going to come under some strain, to put it mildly, this month. So fire horse energy from the Aries equinox, which we've just been through, all planets are moving direct until May the 6th, when Pluto moves stationary retrograde. Also, once Uranus moves into Gemini on the 26th of April, all outer planets are in fire and air. None of them are in earth and water. Earth and water are slow in terms of how they manifest. Fire and air, you can just feel it super fast. So we have the year of the fire horse. We have a huge pileup of planets in Aries, which you'll see in a moment, even more so in the second half of the month. It's the year of the fire horse. It's a 1 year in numerology. All the planets are moving direct now until May the 6th. And as I say, they're in these air and fire signs. So there is a term, you will feel the energy shift, I think, in April. It's dynamic and it's really fast, really fast. And so do remember internally the big slowdown, because it's going to be very easy to get caught up in events. And try and, if you can, I know there's so much going on in the world and we want to stay broadly aware, but try and avoid getting caught up in the, you know, I think it was Tim Wilde who coined the wonderful phrase of going down the the scroll hole, you know, the doom scrolling of, oh my God, you know, everything's hitting a wall, you know, we're doomed. Well, it's not, because this was expected. This collapse of the old world was completely expected by ancient indigenous peoples, by the astrology, all of it. And it's uncomfortable for sure to live through, but we have to go through that breakdown to get to the breakthrough. And for many people, they've already broken through to a higher, more peaceful timeline. So do know that's available to you in any moment. You know, you can just drop into your your silence, your peace, your breath work, and it's a very different world in there. Turn inwards, as David Clements reminded us to do recently. But at a full moon, 12:21 of Libra, the sun and moon are always opposite each other. But Libra as a sign, if we just take it personally, first of all, well, firstly, see where 12:21 of Libra falls in your chart, which house area. But wherever 12:21 of Libra is falling, that often marks a closure in the affairs of that house that the house is to do with, or a completion or a culmination, or maybe shining a light on what we didn't see before. And Libra as a sign, if you have Moon in Libra or you know people with Moon in Libra, it's very what I call other-directed. It's exceptionally kind. It always thinks of it defaults to the other. You know, if that makes you happy, that makes me happy. If that's okay with you, that's okay with me. You know, it's very other-directed, which is terrific, of course, for the people around the person with Moon in Libra, but it's often harder to get their own needs met because the Moon is very instinctive on how it operates. And so just sort of be aware of that and try and catch yourself if you do have the Moon in Libra before you always defer to the other, and find a phrase, something like, well, let's do something that works for both of us. That's quite a sort of non-confrontational phrase that will put you in the picture as well. Libra is one of the two signs that is to do with law and justice. The other is Sagittarius, which is linked to truth. Libra, we think of the scales of justice. And it's interesting that this full moon is falling on Saturn, which is at 14 degrees of Libra, in the 10th house of leaders, governments, the government in the US chart, set for 4th of July, 1776, Philadelphia, 5:10 in the afternoon. And so we will see what unfolds from that. I just happened to see that and I thought, gosh, that's interesting. But we always have this opposition at a full moon. So Libra par excellence is the sign for peace and diplomacy, and Aries is more linked to aggressive behaviour, warlike behaviour. So is it possible we have a chance for peace here, this full moon in Libra? Is that possible? Let us all focus on that as a community. Let us all focus on that. And for you watching this, each of you, each of you, really watch your focus. Remember, your focus is your superpower. Be very aware of where you're putting your focus. If you're really caught up in the war and, you know, the minute-to-minute unfolding of what we don't even know what's true, what's not, Saturn, Neptune, it may just take you off centre. But I think all of this, as I was just saying, is making us very aware of what we absolutely don't want in our world. I mean, 99% of the world's population do not want this kind of human suffering. I think that would be a good guess. And I think the question that this full moon is asking is how far current leadership in the world is operating fairly, Libra, with equability, Libra, and with justice, Libra. Because I think we'd all give one very clear answer to that. So, you know, the kind of leadership, I think, is a big theme in this full moon in Libra chart. And that will drive us to thinking about, okay, well, if this isn't working, what kind of leadership do we actually want? So I think that's a really interesting aspect of this. Now, Libra is ruled by Venus. Venus is very strong in this chart because she's the ruler of this full moon. And she's also in another of her signs of rulership, which is Taurus. Remember, she rules Taurus and Libra. So she's very happy in Taurus. And this brings in, I think, the the sacred feminine. And Heather Ensworth has talked a lot about this, but we're very aware, I think, that in our, certainly in our lifetime and probably many lifetimes, there's been a dominance of the patriarchy, the top-down power. And now the sacred feminine, the divine feminine, is coming in more fully. And that's, I think, shown in this chart too. And with the divine feminine coming in more strongly, divine feminine isn't about gender. It's about, it's a very yin energy. It's receptive. It's loving. It's inclusive. It's nurturing. I mean, beautifully expressed, actually, by Venus in Taurus. And so this is leading us back to Libra, balance, balance, right relationship, harmony, harmony in ourselves, harmony with others, harmony with nature and the earth. And when we're in that balance, right relationship, divine masculine, divine feminine, it is much easier for us to be in coherence, in energetic coherence. If we're heavily in yang, that knocks us out of kilter, takes us off center. And so a big stepping stone to coherence is having the right balance of divine masculine and divine feminine. And this Venus in Taurus as the ruler of this new full moon is beautiful. You know, this is loving nature, loving the beauty of the earth, all the colours. It is the sign most tuned in to the natural rhythms of the earth. You know, the beauty, the stillness, you can just sit in nature and tune in. People who have Venus, actually, or the moon in Taurus, they're usually very good at growing things. There's a kind of Empress in the tarot fertility around it. And really making sure that the earth is in an optimum state, which currently Gaia isn't in an optimum state, but it's going through its own rebirth right now to sort that out. But you can get a deep inner sense of peace and stillness and coherence with that Venus in Taurus. It's really helpful for us. Also, the moon here is conjunct dwarf planet Maki Maki that I've talked about before, very linked to the creator god of Easter Island, the Rapa Nui people. And I've talked about this this history, not just myth, but history of Easter Island before, how it was massively pillaged by the European sailors and they brought disease and they cut down the trees and really devastated Easter Island. And again, took it out of balance. But because the local people, and there are only 111 of them left at one point, understood the natural rhythms, they brought Easter Island back to health, and the ecosystems back to health. So back to balance, back to its natural right balance. So that reinforces that theme. So if we can get this balance right, you know, I see Sun in Aries very much as the yang expression of energy, Moon in Libra very much as the yin, and they are in a T-square to Jupiter. So if we can get that balance right, we can achieve this sense of expansion, a kind of vast spaciousness that many of us are starting to tap into, this loving expansion of consciousness, which I think at this full moon is symbolized by Jupiter, you know, within a degree of Sirius, where Sirius sits. And people are now talking about the Sirius portal that 3i activated as it passed by final flyby to Jupiter, the Sirius portal. And so this is more available to us. And I think I'm going to be talking to Susie Miller in a few days' time with her view, because she's very tuned into 3i Atlas, about what actually happened there. But, you know, what I'm really seeing is birthing a bigger, compassionate vision, visionary Jupiter. Jupiter is also very tightly trying to Mercury in Pisces, a bigger compassionate vision where we're navigating with the heart and not with the mind. But here we actually have a cardinal grand cross, which you can see. It's very strong. And so this is, again, a very dynamic chart on top of everything I've been saying about the energy. So we have Moon conjunct Maki Maki. Down here we have the Sun conjunct Selassie, a beautiful Selassie, the seashell here, mermaid energy. Very connected to the photonic light shimmering, moonlight and sunlight shimmering on the seas. I believe she's very connected to light language. When people spontaneously start to speak light language, it's either a transit to their natal Selassie or a transit by Selassie to a natal planet such as Mercury. And perhaps it's even one of the symbols we could use for the light body, actually, because she's so connected to light. And I just throw that out as a question as we're starting to explore the dwarf planet's mythology and symbolism a little more fully now and get a better understanding. They are square. This is very tight, this square. You know, 11, 12 of Libra, 11, 12 of Aries, 12, Quawa at 12, Ixion at 9, and they're opposing Jupiter over here. So this is an operational grand cardinal grand cross. So Quawa is talking about coming together in community. You know, how do we create this new earth? Well, we create it by embodying its frequency, more light, Selassie. But also this is coming together in community and getting our frequency high enough by singing and dancing and getting ourselves into joy to then set our intentions and manifest. An Ixion part of the picture, you'll remember the myth in the lower expression of the myth. He murdered his father-in-law. He was given a second chance by Zeus. He then tried to rape Zeus's wife Hera, and he was spun off on a burning wheel to eternity. So he has no remorse, no moral compunction at murdering people. And I'm sure you can understand the resonance in society at the moment, but it has another very positive expression of going beyond the mainstream. Fool in the tarot, whistling a happy tune, knapsack on his back, just exiting the system and going off to create a simpler, more joyful life that is beyond the system. I think this speaks volumes, actually, this cardinal grand cross. So we also have other things to note here. We have Mars conjunct Nessus. The buck stops here. And I've talked about this mythology before. You can easily find the myth online, how it's very connected to Melanie Reinhardt is the real expert on that. It's very connected to blood and poisoning, toxicity, gaslighting, pretty grisly myth. But perhaps here conjunct Mars, the buck stops here, also has another meaning of, you know, we are done with this level of war and aggression and destruction. And I think it could be operating at that level too. Now, with the Sun here still very much in conjunction with certainly Saturn and just about with Neptune, all of this Aries energy here is about spirit. You could read it as spiritual activism, particularly with Eris here. Remember the myth of Eris, sister of Mars, created mayhem at the wedding. Because she was the only one who wasn't invited, turned up anyway, threw a golden apple into the group of goddesses and said, for the fairest, and they all fought amongst themselves, which was allegedly the cause of the Trojan War. But she, with Chiron here, 25 of Aries, you know, feeling excluded, feeling on the periphery, feeling like the victim, in a quindicile to this full moon. A very urgent, obsessive, insistent, we need more fairness, we need more justice, we need more balance. Every voice needs to be heard. And in addition, you've got Uranus here, sesquiquadrate, 135 degrees to the moon. same kind of message, revolution. Revolution by the people in order to achieve greater balance, fairness, total social inclusion. So, you know, again, some very clear messages. The other thing I think is important to point out is Pluto is square to Venus here. And yes, of course, that can create, because it's in Taurus, that can create all kinds of volatility in banking, on stock markets, in currency values, etc., etc. Digitization comes in because of the Aquarius side as well. But actually, at a deeper level, I think this is about a fundamental shift in values, a fundamental change in values, where it really is kind of back to basics of coming together, connecting with brothers and sisters, whether they're in your local community or feeling a sense of solidarity across the world, loving the earth, growing our own food. I think there's a real kind of back to basics, fundamental change of values that are coming, because it's in Taurus, and Taurus is about the simple, getting back to basics, the simple. It's also about food production, you know, growing your own food, agriculture. Uranus is about to tip into Gemini, as I said, on the 26th. But it's really going to be from the 6th, we're at the 2nd here, but from the 6th to the 26th, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be at 29 degrees of Taurus. All the things I mentioned earlier will apply. So for the Sabian symbol, you have to move up to the next sign. The next degree in order to read the Sabian symbol. So the Sabian symbol for zero of Gemini is a glass-bottom boat, reveals undersea wonders, the heightened ability to perceive hidden, unconscious, or deeper layers of life. I think that's amazing. Gemini, of course, is connected to the mind, to consciousness. I think we're going to have a surge in our intuition and perception when Uranus moves into Gemini. More of that in the next video. Also, when it comes to conjunct Sedna at the end of May, I think there's going to be another surge in people's awareness then, another surge in July. You know, this is just going to keep on rolling as well. So be aware that we are moving into a very accelerated, dynamic period of awareness, waves of awareness, and awakening of consciousness. This is very, very strong. Make the most of that. You know, this is 2026 is an extraordinary year of transition. The energy is different next year. It's starting to settle in. It's got clearer definition of where we are headed in our various individual timelines, community timelines, etc. It's more settled because all of the outer planets have changed sign and settled in by then. This is the, you know, last year was the year of endings, shedding the skin, year of the wood snake. This is the big year of kind of overlap. Of clearly we're seeing the chaos and breakdown of the old, but we're also increasingly seeing the new. And don't miss those opportunities to grab this new energy, because it's so incredibly potent for us to help us embody more light as we move towards the light body. So once we, you know, really get into the habit of falling in love with our breath, falling in love with stillness, having more frequent or deeper spiritual practices through our day, you know, trying to make it a kind of a rolling sense of being in touch with the divine as you move through your day, whether you're blessing your water, whether you're talking to the trees, whether you're hugging a child, whether you're laughing with a friend, whether, you know, whatever, have a sense of the divine. You know, the in-between times, the in-between the thoughts, the in-between business meetings, the in-between. It's the in-between that so often holds the potency. In between the breaths, remember, has its greatest potency. That's where the siddhis, Indian yogis, really develop their superpowers. It's those in-between moments where we connect to divinity. So, and really ingrain this sense of coherence. Coherence is also a superpower. And I mentioned in a recent video about emblazon on your consciousness in neon lights, heart coherence, because when we do that, our heart, you probably know this from all the incredible research that HeartMath has done, we actually expand our heart's toroidal field. We create more health in every single cell of our body. Every single cell becomes more coherent, more, it's like a physiological harmony right through the body, if you like. And our heart's toroidal field can expand up to about 4 feet. And we can more easily infect, if you like, other people we come in contact with that sense of coherence and balance and health. But we're also broadcasting that to the collective as well. It's one of the best things we can all do. And we get into coherence through hugging a tree, bare feet on the grass, meditation, breath work, laughter, joy, dancing, singing. There are many ways to come into coherence where you feel that sense of just inner balance, I think, centeredness and inner balance. And so I'm just going to remind you, I know I've quoted this recently, and I know I've quoted it in other videos too, but it's just so perfect for where we are. That beautiful quote from the prize-winning chemist, and I believe he was a physicist too, certainly a chemist, Ilya Prigozhin. When a complex system is far from equilibrium, small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos have the capacity to shift the entire system to a higher order. Okay, so there are three steps to this, I feel. The first is to achieve more coherence in yourself in all the ways we've just spoken about. Secondly, have a strong sense of standing as an anchor, like a lighthouse or an antennae or an absolutely stable anchor, so that you can receive and integrate the new cosmic energies coming in with all the light codes and the energies coming up from the earth. David Clements talked about this a lot in our recent conversation. Light codes are also coming up from the earth as well as from the cosmos and our sun and the great central sun. And so we are the transducer, if you like, of all of those energies, of all of that light. And once we can integrate them individually, the third step is we can then broadcast them out to the world to raise the collective. So that's a three-step process. And I just want to remind you, and Sarita Sol and I were talking about this, if you saw our recent conversation about the mechanism of neutrality, that's on my channel. And we were talking about the Dr. David Hawkins map of consciousness. You can easily find that online. And Dr. David Hawkins was a brilliant, I think he was a psychotherapist, and he muscle tested thousands of people and developed a kind of logarithmic scale of a map of consciousness, which is quite extraordinary. And what he said, and the book is brilliant. Everybody should read the book. It's a big bestseller called Power Versus Force, which is really what we're talking about here. Absolutely what we're talking about here. He said, in that map of consciousness, one person vibrating at 500, which is the vibration of love, balances 750,000 individuals vibrating at 200 or below. 200 is courage. And below, you've got guilt and shame and that kind of thing. So one person vibrating at 600 on his scale, that's peace. Interesting that peace is higher than love here in his scale, but balances 10 million individuals vibrating at 200 and below. Courage, then shame, guilt, anger, whatever. One person vibrating at the 700 level of enlightenment balances 70 million individuals at or below 200. 70 million, one person. And that's why it only takes a very small number of us to really collapse all of that less positive energy in the collective. It's like a tsunami of coherence. A huge momentum of coherence that, whoomph, we just hit the tipping point. And this is like a phase shift where, you know, you see things happen in petri dishes. They start slowly and then all of a sudden, boom, and it happens in cymatics, you know, sand on a glass plate. The pattern begins and then suddenly there's a tipping point and whoomph. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. And it's created by our coherence, which is the stepping stone to get to these higher frequencies, which then cascade into the collective and really change our reality in a very big way. So I hope I'm making sense here, because this feeds back to the moon in Libra, which is about this sense of inner balance. And so just coming back to this theme of leadership, I think leadership going forwards is going to take two forms. Because, you know, if we were asked, how do we think leadership is working in the world right now? I think we'd say, well, not terrifically well. So I think there are going to be two forms. One is going to be a kind of visionary, innovator, progressive, new ideas. People want to gather around him and develop whatever brilliant new invention he's developed. But the other is a kind of energetic leadership, which is leadership by radiant presence, where you don't even have to speak and you have leadership. And you have leadership because you light up the individuals in the room. You light up the other individuals in the room without speaking, without preaching, without rules and regulations, must do this, must do that, without any of that, just by a sense of radiant presence. And in order to get to that, one of the first stepping stones is that sense of inner balance, Libra. So I think this is really a fascinating full moon in Libra. Really be aware of the building dynamic fire horse energies this month. It's going to be probably the most dynamic, I think, month this year. There's so much fire energy. Aries is primal fire. We may see a lot of fire. I hope that's not the case. Use it as the fire in your heart and the fire in your belly to be a spiritual activist. But these are strong times. These are very big times where we can make quantum leaps in our evolution individually and collectively. So I hope that's helped you. Lot in there today, and I'll be back very soon in a few days' time with a lovely conversation with Susie Miller. God bless. Bye for now. We'll be right back.
Grace Within, your connection between this world and the next.
That's Medicine Power from Oliver Shanti. Now this is Cryon, and he's talking about a 5-year term, or something that happens every 26,000 years.
5 years and counting. What do you think that means? Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. Some of you guessed it right. Some of you have no idea what it means, and perhaps you're watching this because of it. What happens in 5 years that we have taught about for some time? There is a timing, dear ones, of what you would call, and we have taught about, called that great shift. The shift is here. Now, this shift, as we have described to you before, is a time of an allowance, you might say, that was actually predicted by the ancients because it aligns with astronomy. It aligns with a wobble of the Earth that creates the precession of the equinoxes. This time of allowance only happens every 26,000 years or so, and it's here. These kinds of things are so massive and so difficult to time and show the timeline because they're so slow. But the average says that this started almost 36 years ago. In fact, it was 30 years ago. And in that, dear ones, we started a different kind of energy on this planet, the shift. So what has happened in these last 30 years, or perhaps even in the last 20 years? Have you seen anything? Have you seen an alarming incidence of certain kinds of things? When we told you that the light is being turned on and the dirt is showing, and then we told you that you have some time to start cleaning up that dirt because there's an allowance, you might even say a dimensional shift happening. Would all of this be from astronomy? Do you believe in the energy from the stars? Do you believe in the movements of the things around you? Do you believe in astrology? For here it is on another scale. But this one involves perceptions from the earth of what you see because of the wobble that is here. And the ancients spoke of it. What else did this shift bring you that was really truly unusual? That was the incidence of the calendar of the Maya in 2012. And what you thought that was, and what many told you it was, instead of the truth, that it was the end of a time for the Mayans, a calendar that was 5,000 years or some change, as they say, old. A 5,000-year calendar? Yes, dear ones. Because these calendars, 5 of them, were developed around the space between the precessions of the equinoxes on the Earth. You are in the shift. And what the Mayans told you was this is the last calendar of its kind. Because this shift ends a 26,000-year event. And now you move forward into something no one expected. How many of you saw or heard the channel that asks, does time repeat itself? If you did, you know this is what we were teaching you then as well. It does. It repeats itself over and over and over until something happens that would move you onto another track, you might say. If that was a train that was repeating over and over and going around in a circle, it's going to another track. And what then prompted it was called the precession of the equinoxes. Now, dear ones, listen up, because here's the answer. 5 years and counting is how many years are left of this change. this precession of the equinox's 36-year event, it ends approximately 2030. You're 5 years from it. What happens then? Now, this particular question has been given so many times and answered in so many ways and times, especially in those places where I present live to you. But now I'm going to tell you what I've told the others. I want you to back off from that which is the doom and gloom scenario that you've been told by so many. They want to be important, and so they will tell you that in 5 years it's all over. You had your chance, now you get into the doom. And they'll tell you that perhaps part of your continent here in the United States will fall off into the ocean. Now, that is an interesting prediction because it's right on schedule. In fact, that was the same prediction as 25 years ago. Same one. It's almost like it's a prediction that comes along every once in a while. We gave you a channel for that as well. We called it the Doom Machine. That's not what's going to happen in 5 years. In 5 years, dear ones, it starts to be the closure of the craziness. How about that? You didn't expect that one, did you? This shift is allowing for this light to turn on and show the dirt. It's an allowance for all the wild cards to come forward in history and present themselves. It's a wild card in politics, have you noticed? It's a wild card in so many things. It's the kind of thing that allowed COVID. All of this in the shift. 36-year window, you might say, of craziness. At the end of the 5 years, I want you to expect some settling. Now, what is taking place here? He said it doesn't stop in the awakening department. You're still going to have so many awakening, including all those indigos we've told you about. All of that starts to continue. It's going to look a little better, dear ones, because there will be solutions that you'll have, perhaps in the next 5 years. Other things may happen as well that some have predicted that are good. I want you to see this as the end of an odd time. You are in an odd time. This precession of the equinoxes, starting in 1994, has been predicted to you from many. And you will see it all over the map in the indigenous of the planet who knew of this. Who knew of the timing of this? And perhaps even their ancestors had seen it before the last time it took place. It's a time of transformation, a time of allowance, a time of dimensional shift, you might say. And we've been telling you this for some time. Now here it comes, 5 years and counting. My instructions to you, do not fear the end of the shift. The shift continues in a more gradual and pleasing way. Say, perhaps it's the end of all that is uncomfortable. And starts to make a little more sense. It's a little more mature time, you might think. All of this taking place in 5 years. Now, this will not be an abrupt change. Again, there are those who have said that the 36 years started earlier, that it's over now. Another said it actually started later and it won't be over for 10 years. So this is truly an average where the timing of this, you might say, is a gradual feeling of different energy. Even though we say it's ending in 5 years, it may take another two to actually get out of it completely. That's because of the slowness of this precession and how much time it takes even to get into it and to get out of it. It's not a snapshot event. I would love to see you celebrate it in 5 years. Dear Spirit, you might say, the timing may not be perfect, but I hereby thank you for the shift. We are now moving forward to what we learned there and what happened there into a more mature time. Show us the pathway that makes sense in this new time we have. Show us what it meant, what it all meant, and what we do next. It is for humanity that this is happening, dear ones. It's a shake-up time, and indeed it has been. Now, that shake-up time is not necessarily going to continue in the intensity that it has been, and that's the whole point. 5 years and counting to the end of a shift where the light was being shown and the dirt, it actually showed so clearly that many things in your culture have changed because of it. Imagine an awakening that you had that saw things that didn't make sense and were incorrect for what you wanted on this planet. You got 5 more years of that. And perhaps the end of wars. Think of that. All of these things coming to a point that you expected. There were many predictions of this time that took another, you would say, cloak of energy. One of them, during the shift, you would have, of course, Armageddon, which you did not. That was a metaphor all along for a shifting planet that would be profoundly different. There were predictions of a rapture, of a coming time of mastery. And I told you that actually is happening. And that's part of the shift. And that's part of the awakening. That's part of the light. So even some of the, you might say, spiritual predictions in Holy Scriptures, they're actually happening now in a different way. We've given you that information as well. 5 years and counting is good news. Celebrate it, if you choose, as the end of a time you came for. You came for. I will tell you yet again what an honor it is to be channeling on a planet with the majority of the population who came in knowing you'd be in the middle of the shift. Knowing of difficult times, knowing that there might even be a war or two, but it might be the last of its kind of war or two, where humanity would say, no more, get it together, no more. We're tired of the differences that would create killing one another, claiming land, greed over the formulas for what you have for trade, or all of the other things that would create war, through the centuries that you've had it, enough is enough. That is the shift. Are you seeing some of that? Are you seeing those who are getting tired and fed up with the same old of dark energy that creates those wars? The core systemic reasons are starting to change. For the very war, of why it causes it, what it's about, instead of repeating it over and over. That's what the shift has been about. It's a time to celebrate 5 years and counting. It is why I am here, to facilitate that very thing. And so it is.
All connected to each other biologically, to the earth chemically, to the rest of the universe atomically.
I think nature's imagination is so much greater than man's. He's never gonna let us relax.
We live in an in-between universe where things change all right, but according to patterns, rules, or as we call them, laws of nature.
I'm this dot standing on a planet. Really, I'm just a speck. I'm just a speck compared with a star. The planet is just another speck. To think about all of this, to think about the vast emptiness of space. There's billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of specks.
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are a way. The cosmos can know itself. Across the sea of space, the stars are other suns. We've traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
We're all connected to each other biologically, to the Earth chemically, to the rest of the universe atomically.
I find it elevating and exhilarating to discover that we live in a universe which permits the evolution of molecular machines as intricate and subtle as we.
In my body are traceable to phenomenon in the cosmos. That makes me want to grab people in the street and say, have you heard this?
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are a way. The cosmos can know itself.
There's this tremendous mass of waves all over in space, which is the light bouncing around the room, going from one thing to the other. And it's all really there, really, really there. But you gotta stop and think about it, about the complexity, and really get the pleasure. It's all really there, really, really there. The inconceivable nature of nature. To think about all of this, to think about the vast emptiness of space.
There's billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of specks. The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are a way. The cosmos and know itself. Across the sea of space, the stars are other suns. We've traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
Well, how about that? Something different. That's a combination between a lot of well-known people: Carl Sagan, Richard Freeman, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Bill Nye, all together talking about being one. Anyway, this is Lee Harrison. He's telling us about the world is entering a massive transformation, which came from a Sounds True website.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a big general question, and it's the kind of thing I think you could talk about for many, many hours, but you can just give me the pith response. How do you see, from all the work you've done with disease, this time we're in as a human species? This is my big general. Oh my God. This time we're recording this conversation, end of 2025.
The things that groups of us have known about or been privy to or heard about for the last 30, 40, 50 years are now happening right in front of our faces. So to me, this is kind of a crunch time, meaning this is it. Like, this is the moment where things start to transform. I'm often, you know, it's weird. I just got that image of the movie Titanic, where at the end, you know, the boat kind of snaps in half and everything goes the other way. I feel like that's where we're at right now. I feel that we've gone through this period over about the last 10, 13 years, like 2012 onwards, we've started to see what we knew as the 3D world transform. And I feel like we're right now at the beginning of the next massive transformation. I think we're going to see transformation in the next 10, 20 years that could match what our parents' generation saw in their whole lifetime.
And if a listener says, well, my intent is to align as much as possible with benevolent impacts, how do I do that, Lee, from your perspective?
Work on love. Work on love. So identify what love feels like to you in your body. For some people, love feels like purpose. For some people, love feels warm and fuzzy and giving things to people. And for some people, it's different for everyone. But aligning with purposeful either work, or perhaps it's not your career, but it's work that you do as service or with your community, that kind of makes your heart light up. Because usually your heart will be lighting up because you're lighting up other hearts at the same time. And you're in resonance with hearts you're lighting. And equally in your personal life, look for love and look to keep moving toward love and away from judgment, division, which for all of us requires and involves shedding behaviors that we all used to see as normal based on our conditioning that we then outgrow and go, oh, wow, that's a bit judgmental. I had no idea, but I was trained into it. Now I know what my heart feels like. I can recognize when I say that thing about this person, ooh, that didn't feel good, because I've opened my heart to love enough that I recognize there isn't enough love in that sentence I just said. Oh, time for me to stop saying what I learned from my family or the business place I've been in for 10 years. Who do I want to be? And I would say love and heart energy. The Z's have said heart energy is going to be one of the main currencies on the earth in the coming decades. So heart energy to me always makes me think, yeah, where do we feel love? Where do we feel we have given love, received love? Where do we feel love inside us for what we are doing, what we are living? Can we keep going in that direction as much as possible on any given day?
What do you mean by currencies, one of the main currencies?
Yeah, good question. They said heart energy is going to be one of the most important things on the planet in the coming decades, meaning it will be who is using their heart intelligence, not their mental or egoic intelligence, in isolation from their heart. So the way I can look at that is the good of the all being considered? Is what it is that you want to do, does it have a positive ripple effect in the world? Or is it something you want to do to feed yourself, just you and your family, just your ego, whatever need you have to be seen a certain way? These are all fairly old paradigm identities that are fading out. Overall, they're fading out. There will still be some people who will embody them a lot. And then there will be others who have no interest in that kind of story of being on earth anymore. And they will move more to a heart space, which is my heart feeling like we are good? Is my heart feeling like my world is good? I'm trying to think, how can I explain it less abstractly for someone who doesn't really understand what I'm talking about? It is as simple as, and yet this is challenging to be vigilant about if you aren't a growth-oriented or minded person. It is as simple as asking yourself, how did I feel today on a scale of 1 to 10 overall throughout my day? I give myself a 2. I was really stressed this morning. Then I was agitated at lunchtime. Then there was too much work in the afternoon. And then my sister really annoyed me when she phoned me at 6. Yeah, today wasn't a good day. This was a 2 out of 10. Okay, how tomorrow do I make it a 6 out of 10? Well, I have to identify what the stresses were. So you can say, angels, please let me have a better day tomorrow. And that's one way of creating a different energy in your life. But you'll also have to go, oh, yeah, my sister, I probably shouldn't take her call tomorrow if she calls me again. Or I need to have a clear conversation with her about, we need to learn to communicate differently because this isn't working for me. The work I'm doing is sapping my soul. I might need to think that over the next 6 to 12 months, I need to take action around that. So I think uncovering the heart actually takes work. It's not just, oh, good, I felt really good for 10 minutes. I found my heart. I think it's also identifying where and when we get further away from our heart. So I know for me, it would be overwhelm or stress. So then I'll look at, okay, I need to calm the schedule down. I spoke to too many people today. How am I going to change that tomorrow? So it's always kind of fine tuning through your own evolution process.
You know, it's interesting to me, this notion on liberating, I would say, our heart energy to flow in an unobstructed way. That's the way I'll put it from my own experience. And it's interesting. I feel like I'm right on time in a certain way, which I'm grateful for. I don't say that arrogantly. I hope it doesn't sound that way. It's more like I've been suffering and this is apparent that this is the next evolutionary phase that wants to happen, which is to find in my own inner awareness pockets of heart energy that are occluded, like somehow little areas that are like, no, we're not going to be part of the big heart opening agenda, Tammy. No way. It's going to hurt too much. Bye-bye. 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 No. And they're like hiding out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you might say to that for other people who are on this work on love project. They get it. That's what this time's about. But have pockets of like, it hurt too much.
It's, by the way, that's normal. And I think... it's so interesting because, Tammy, it's brilliant talking to you, firstly, because of what you've done for so long in the field. You know, you've been doing this for 30 years and you've built an organization that serves consciousness. You know, I've been a student of self-growth and spirituality consciously since I was 16 and I'm 49 now, and I've been working in it for 21 years. I resonate with what you just said because I think back to what I thought about spirituality and self-growth 25, 30 years ago, and it seems so basic now, but it's where not only I was, it's where the world was. And I think we've all changed. And so I think if you are a student of self-growth and spirituality for a long time, there can be this sometimes illusionary idea that, oh, well, I'm just going to be enlightened for the last 30 years of my life and everything's going to be peaceful and easy. And actually, if you are here as an energy mover or as an energy worker or a light worker or a grid worker, whatever label you do or don't identify with, the path is usually one of constant change and transformation. Because if you're here to be here for the ride of transformation on Earth, lo and behold, you're going to have to be a few steps ahead of it.
Divinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So coming up this Sunday on the 29th, we have Awakening Your Knowing. Miria will take you through a whole day of spiritual stuff. So you can go to the website, infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz, and all the details on there, you can go and book up and do everything. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.